But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's rhyme it today. Just rhyme it.
Yes.
We are gonna do rhyme it. Just
yeah,
rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just rammed it.
Everybody rhyme it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and rhyme it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Rhyme it.
Wow.
Rhyme it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers the Pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick. And Nick, we got a dub. Wild card weekend ended with a Rams victory. How do you feel?
I feel great, Dean. I really do. That was a great display of football. How can you not feel good after that? I'm almost blown away. I tried to summon the ghost of Jeff Fisher, and I seem to have successfully done that with the defense, because that was one of the best defensive displays I've seen under Sean McVay.
I don't know if you summoned the ghost of Jeff Fisher. You summoned the ghost of some of the great defensive coordinators of the past. Or maybe you just summoned Raheem Morris to step up to his game. I don't know. Whatever you summoned, or whatever Rams fans were willing to happen, it happened. Because the Rams put together one of the most prolific performances from a defensive perspective in the postseason, in postseason history. I was impressed not only from the defense all the way through, starting with the front seven, even into the secondary, I was impressed. But then you go back to the massive monkey that the Rams got off their back in Matthew Stafford winning his first playoff game in 13 years and being in the league. OBJ won his first playoff game after 8 years of being in the league. I have to say, I mean, the storyline would have been catastrophically different if they weren't to have won this game. And you could see it's happening with the Cardinals within the national media right now. And it's so dramatic in terms of Kyler Murray potentially going to play baseball, right? I mean, that was the flip side of what could have happened. I mean, as dramatic as it's gotten, right? That's how severe it can be when you lose in the wild card round, when your back's up against the wall, which is why I guarantee to win. And I saw everything I could have wanted to see within this game from this team. Every promise that they made throughout the year came into fruition in this game. So I think a massive sigh of relief for all Rams fans, including yourself, Nick, was let out yesterday.
Yeah. Here's what I liked, right? 13 for 17, 202 yards, two touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown out of Stafford. You don't have, like, I was like, I don't want him. He doesn't have to be a hero. I want a ground and pound game. And that's exactly what we got. And we got a little offensive trickery. We had Odell, 40-yard pass. Like, that's beautiful. That's all I could ask for. And he played, like, Stafford, the credit where it's due, he played exceptionally well on offense. You know, he was hitting a lot of people, and there were some drops. Like, let's be real. Cup had a drop. Higbee had a drop. Cam Akers had a drop. Like, his numbers actually don't even reflect how good of a game that he could have had.
That's true.
And first playoff win, got the monkey off the back. Like, it's a beautiful thing.
To hear you say that, I have to tell you, it's rejuvenating. I feel like I have a brand new energy. I feel like we're back to, and I don't want to jinx us here, and don't take this as a jinx, but I feel like we're back to the 2018 energy, where I feel like we could fully back this team. We're confident in the quarterback, you're confident in the coach, and you're confident in the relationship. I think that was the big thing you saw yesterday, was massive trust between the two of them, right? You had to go all the way back to week one for Matthew Stafford to get to the same level of passer rating that he had in this game, right? Chicago, he was 20 of 26 for 321 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions in the first week of the season. To me, though, because of the stage, because of how he took care of the football, because of how the defense, he was taking what the defense gave him. You saw him take off. You saw him use his legs. I was impressed in that regard. It was the best game that he played all year. Just because
there was
of the stage. Go ahead. No. What were we going to say? He was the highest rated quarterback in playoff game history, in franchise history, in Rams history. So, I mean, you got to give it to him. He deserves all the credit in the world now. I have to say.
I just
when you talk about, go ahead.
I just really liked everything that they brought to the table collectively as a team on the offense. But the offense, like, with all of that being said, the offense is not the star of the show, which is the craziest thing to me. I'm watching that game and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, is Kyler hurt? Because throughout the year, our defense has been pretty good and they've been really good after the bye. But they weren't this good against one of the most explosive offenses of the year ever. Like, dropped picks in this game too, from the defense, like a couple, but still, like, an amazing stat line. I think they ended with 3 total in the day, or maybe it was only 2. But either way, they freaking defense was just lights out, and playoff Von Miller is a real guy. So it was 2. I just checked. It was 2 interceptions.
Yep. And playoff Von is real. Playoff Aaron Donald is real. I mean, you saw the story that they had put together, the series of clips that they compiled for Aaron Donald. I mean, the only thing he has left to do in his football career is to win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, you kind of rally on the backs of players like Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Sony Michel, who have been there and have done that and have won a Super Bowl, right? So, I mean, that's why you bring in players like that, and it's all kind of coming to fruition right now. I mean, it's a combination of things, right? I mean, you can go into the offense. You can go into how Matthew Stafford was able to deal with adversity, was able to deal with pressure. He was great against the blitz. There was a ton of praise post-game with Sean McVay. OBJ pitched a perfect game. You saw Cam Akers was the weapon that you wanted to see. And then, Nick, also, the flip side is the defense. So why don't you tell me, what do you want to talk about first? Because I want to have some fun with this episode. We got a lot here in the script, but there's a lot to talk about within this game. So what stood out the most to you?
Definitely the defense.
All right, let's jump into the defense. Raheem Morris, the game plan for what Sean McVay called the Rams' best performance of the season on that side of the ball. We were without Taylor Rapp and Jordan Fuller. I mean, you're already thin at defensive back. You're thin at safety. You're thin at linebacker because of injuries. And then Eric Weddle seemingly comes out of nowhere. He's exactly where you want him to be. He's a signal caller. He's rallying the group. He's getting, you know, prime time snaps. You saw him in the post game. He came out. He described that snap. And all of a sudden, fans are starting to kind of flock to his personality. There's just a lot of good things that are coming along with this defense. There's a lot of players within the mix that were undrafted guys, that were guys that were written off earlier on in the season, that came through in this game outside of the front 7 that we've given a lot of credit to throughout the season so far. The Rams' defense at the half, Nick, listen to this stat. 40 yards allowed, 2 interceptions, and they scored 1 touchdown. The Rams outgained the Cardinals in the first half, 180 yards to 40. The Cardinals were 0-for-6 on third down in the first half. Murray started the game 7-of-17 for 28 yards and 2 interceptions. And Odell Beckham Jr. had more passing yards than him until deep into the third quarter. That's how lopsided this game was. And it was primarily because of the defense. I mean, it's everything that you could have wanted to see.
So let's take the fan hats off for a second, okay?
All right. Fair.
Let's take them off. And look, like, I'm definitely worthy of praise on all sides of the football. Special teams too. Hecker, those punts were, that was like 2018. Yep. Hecker. We'll Matt Gay, Mr. Automatic. I know nobody wants to talk about this right now, and everybody wants to give Stafford his glory that he deserves. That he deserves. He deserves the glory. This Cardinals team did not come up with a good game plan. They played horrible. They, like, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. After, like, it's 14-0, there's a clip of, like, Ertz running back to the huddle after Kyler throws him a bad ball. And you can tell he's, like, for whatever reason, like, already checked out.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I don't understand that. Like, I've been trying to wrap my head around it all day. Like, what, like, bug had gotten through this Cardinals team? Or was it just, like, this isn't who they wanted to play? They wanted to win the division. But even if they did, they would have played us anyway. It would have just been in Arizona. So, I don't, like, I don't understand why they just folded. It felt like the game was over immediately. Also, first time I think we forced a three and out on like a legitimate team this year to start the game.
Yeah. Well, it's you really just changed the momentum of the show really quickly. I'm glad that you did, though, because sometimes you have to take your fan hat off. And you could talk about Cliff Kingsbury. We talked about this before the episode started. His downward trajectory as you get into December, as you get into January. Kyler Murray's bad ankle. Yeah, I see you're rocking the mug. You could talk about DeAndre Hopkins. You could talk about significant snaps that J.J. Watt played that were more effective when he was on the field than when he was not. I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors that come into it. I think when a team is trending downward, the team started 7-0. I mean, if you look back, Kyler Murray was the number one MVP candidate. He was the guy. I mean, you were to ask me who I thought was going to win MVP this season just based on how the year was flowing, I would have, back in week 7, week 8, I would have put my money on Kyler Murray. And just the way that everything has changed, just to take the fan hat off for a second, the trajectory downward that they've had, I think it's a tribute to the fact that they don't have a ton of experience in that area. Kyler Murray's never played in a playoff game before. I think a lot of people underestimated that. And also the fact that James Conner was banged up too. I mean, there's 17, 18 touchdowns throughout your entire season that you really don't have because the whole right side of his ribs are banged up. Can't take the same kind of hits. He can't be as physical. He wasn't as aggressive in the passing game. But Nick, you're right. I mean, like, I think the biggest thing with the Cardinals is, like, when we watched that Baltimore game, it felt like it was a scaled back version of their pistol offense that they typically run. That Cardinals pistol offense has to run downhill at you, right? You got to be able to, you know, put two offsetting backs in front of Kyler and then just be able to run straight downhill or be able to run lateral and be able to get around the edge. They couldn't do either of those two things. And when those two things aren't working and the pass game also isn't working, it leads to 14, 15 total pressures by Greg Gaines and Aaron Donald and Von Miller. So took the fan hat off. I do have to say, in my unbiased opinion on the Cardinals is that they were just spiraling downward. And we caught them at the right time. Could you agree with that?
Yeah. I definitely could agree with that. It's just, I think it's going to come out that Kyler is like injured maybe because like, I still can't believe our defense was that good, but if it really like it, nothing has come out yet. And if that's the case, I feel like we, you know, there's just a real legitimate chance for us to make like a legitimate Super Bowl run, which I had thought was done, but Raheem Morris's defense, like altogether, just had one of the most amazing performances in the entire year. Like, just period. Like, I mean, like a lot of season and off season combined, and to have it at a moment like this, like in the playoffs, like my God, it doesn't get better.
No, it doesn't. I mean, tribute to Raheem Morris. I mean, this is why he's going to get head coaching interviews. And he's a good guy. I mean, you could tell Jalen Ramsey's obviously flocking to him. The way that he is a leader, I think, is obviously an attractive attribute of his. But I mean, the Cardinals throughout this game, 8 consecutive drives that ended in either a punt, a fumble, or an interception. That is the longest streak to open up a playoff game since 1980. Are you kidding me, Raheem Morris? 2021 defenses, how about this? Yards per play allowed. The Bills were number one in the league, 4.57 yards allowed per play. The Rams were 10th this season, 5.24 yards allowed per play. Last night, the Rams' defense allowed 3.39 yards per play, which is almost, it's more than a full yard less than the actual league average in terms of yards per play. So putting my fan hat on back on for a second. Raheem Morris, he's also the guy who's responsible for giving Troy Reader the green dot, okay? The man with the green dot should be its own storyline. Troy Reader, right up, the kid from UDell, had a hell of a game. Aaron Donald said Reader did a really, really good job communicating everything, keeping everything locked in, and he made a good play down in the end zone, which we all remember play of the game, when Kyler Murray threw that pick, almost getting a safety and making him toss it up there. We blitzed him. We had some success, and he was doing great as far as communicating things and checking things as well. There's a massive portion of that fans will never know about, a linebacker being able to diagnose things at the line of scrimmage like a quarterback does, extremely important. You got to be a smart guy to do that, as well as extremely athletic. And Troy Reader, let's just see it unfold, but he's playing well right now. Aaron Donald also said he saw alerts. He was able to communicate that with us. It was huge. He did a great job today. I totally agree. I have to say, guys like David Long, this is not Aaron Donald now, this is Dean. David Long, Terrell Burgess, Eric Weddle, Dante Dion, Nick Scott, Traven Howard, Marquise Copeland. I talked about this a couple of minutes ago, but these are all guys that haven't played a ton of snaps this year. David Long, remember back in week 4 when he was benched because he was shredded by AJ Green? He had a pick 6 last night. I mean, it's coming full circle. Nick Scott also clocked AJ Green and broke up a pass that was reviewed and was that it was initially called on the field as a catch and a fumble. And then he hit him and the ball came out. They reviewed it and it was ruled a pass breakup. Traven Howard was the highest graded Rams linebacker this season. And Terrell Burgess had 5 tackles and was everywhere. And Marquise Copeland had a pick. I mean, he's an undrafted free agent. These are guys that may at one point a time didn't even think that they could be in the league, and they're making plays late in the postseason. And that's what this league is all about. And I mean, these are guys collectively came together. They all helped us win individually yesterday. And I give them all individual praise, but also it's the same. It's like the Sean McVay effect. I mean, Jalen Ramsey will say this. I mean, Raheem Morris has put this Rams defense in good positions to be successful this year. You know, sometimes you don't have the personnel to be able to make the plays. It looks like right now things are coming together. The front combined with the secondary, things are looking good for the Rams' defense. You can summon Jeff Fisher or you could summon Nick Vespi. Either way, both of those guys will do you good.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's funny. I just think just based on what we saw, how is like – this top heavy team, you know, all these guys getting like redemption arcs on this team. Like it doesn't work. You know, you have Stafford coming back, Cam coming back. OBJ was like washed before this. Von Miller hasn't been in a playoff game in 5 years and they're all on this same team. And this was the first time all of that clicked together.
It felt like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like outside of a Jags team that doesn't, yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, the Jets can destroy them. And it like against a legitimate team and all like every narrative, like they don't beat teams with winning records. Stafford can't win a playoff game. The trade was stupid. Narratives that I've been saying because I thought that they were true. And if you go out there and you beat Tampa and you're in the NFC Championship, I would consider that. Like everything that I have said, I would take it all back, and I consider that like a truly successful season. And then because then you're one game away from the Super Bowl, you can make it like at that point.
Yep,
sure. like next year, the following year, whatever. But I just loved what I saw. I was almost bored by the fourth quarter. Because I just knew it was over. I mean, I was sitting there.
I mean, you're no longer standing up. You're no longer anxious and standing up. You're now sitting down and you could enjoy a beverage and have something to eat.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It became relaxing. But I mean, I want this double. If the Rams could go out and beat the Bucs, and we'll talk about it later this week. For me, it would be.
They can. I mean, they absolutely can.
For sure. For me, it would be. I get to convince you, right? The argument for me would be, hey, you just got to follow along with me. I'll guide you in the right direction, Rams fans. Don't buy into the national media. You know, they're gonna downsell every team that puts together star power, every team that does stuff that's unorthodox, teams that do things that just aren't the norm, right? I mean, that's just kind of the less need way that F them picks, everything they've kind of been about this season. Has been against the norm. So you're going to get national media hate. But at the same time, if you believe and you can see through that BS, there is a way through it. And I think that that's kind of starting to come to fruition now. I mean, just a little bit more on the Rams' defense. I wanted to show this tweet from Jalen Ramsey on Raheem Morris, just to, you know, further reiterate how we feel, how this whole situation is panning out. Ramsey tweeted, right, Roz, the best coach I've ever had, and I've had some great ones. He's taught me so much more this year alone that's helped me improve my game. If no other team wants to give him a head coaching position he deserves, I will personally gladly have him back as our defensive coordinator. No cap.
I mean, that just goes to show you, like, when one of the best is able to go out and say that, like, about you, that's one of the best things that he could say in terms of him getting a head coaching job, right?
Yep.
Like, yep, I mean, right. Nothing else is going to be able to, like, that's like the best letter of recommendation I think you could get, really. Yep. Outside of maybe McVay, but still, like, that is that's just coming from him, that means so much. And you had to get, like, I didn't know that they felt that way about him. Like, I, you know, obviously they're gonna say like nice things, but to tweet that out now, knowing that he's going to interviews, just goes to show you how, like, as much as I want him here, this man deserves to be a head coach somewhere else. Also, just like, I don't know why the heck the Vikings are interviewing defensive-minded head coaches. Like,
yes, I mean, like, it's the exact opposite. Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich.
I think Vikings fans are probably pulling their hair out right now.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to be a young offensive mind. It doesn't make any sense. I guess I'll take my fan hat off for one more second before I put it back on. Prior to the game starting, I mean, I was just kind of reading through some stats on the defense. I wanted to just look through some deficiencies as we're kind of prepping for Tampa Bay. And I found that the Rams' defense allowed, and this is a stat tweeted by Lewis Riddick, 79% completion percentage inside the numbers this season, essentially the middle of the field. That's the second highest mark by any defense in the last 15 years. The 2018 Bucks were at 80%. So, I mean, again, it means the middle of the field is vulnerable. But, I mean, if you're bringing pressure, you're getting creative, you're disguising things. On that play where Troy Reader almost got the sack, the safety on Kyler Murray, Aaron Donald actually dropped back in coverage in the middle of the field. So, I mean, you can get creative.
I saw that. I was totally shocked by that.
It was weird. But, again, effective. I mean, if you could do things that are different, are creative, you could drop back players in the middle of the field. It doesn't have to be Aaron Donald. But if safeties can collapse and your middle linebackers can cover, Traven Howard looked like he just continues to improve week over to week. It's going to continue to counter their inability to contain and defend inside the numbers. You're not going to have to defend inside the numbers if you get to the quarterback. And we're going to talk about that a ton more in our next episode. We're going to talk about the blitz, how Tampa Bay loves to utilize the blitz and how Stafford was highly effective against the blitz in this game. And allow me to transition back to Matthew Stafford, because I do have a clip that I want to play on Matthew Stafford, if that's cool with you, Nick.
Yeah, please clip away.
You want me to clip away? Awesome. The blitz rate that he faced in this game, 7 of 9, 148 yards and a touchdown against the blitz in this game. It's a plus 13.9 pass EPA. Those who don't know, in EPA worlds, that's really good. But being blitzed last night, Matthew Stafford was highly effective. I'm going to play this clip just because I think it's a pretty good example of what Matthew Stafford has been able to add to the Rams this season. Check this out.
Deep ball to Van Jefferson in the second half. Play action fake, and when Matt Stafford turns around, he sees that middle of the field safety positioned perfectly for this post route. And then that safety did this. Took a couple of steps toward Cooper Kupp, which gave Stafford all the room he needed to deliver this strike to Jefferson for a huge gain. And in my office, I literally said to myself, what was that safety doing? Then I went to the end zone angle and saw this. Stafford staring down Kupp before at the last second peeking at Jefferson before making his throw. Of course that baited the safety. This was pretty close to a no-look pass from Stafford in the playoffs.
In the playoffs?
See, oh, now, man. It was close to a no-look pass. That's what I liked about it.
Oh, come on. Don't discredit it. Don't.
No, I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying I liked that he kept his eyes on Van Jefferson at the end of the throw. I like if he's doing this and throws it like that. Or no, sorry. Whenever I'm on camera, I'm always like messed up. So he's like doing this, and then he goes, and then like throws it, and it's an interception. Right. I'm mad, but like he's going like this the whole time, and then the last second he shifts. So like that gives him enough time to make that pass. I mean, it's a deep pass. Also loved like almost like the decoyology of Cooper Kupp in this game. And then he still gets a touchdown, which is amazing because he is Cooper Kupp. But the like they like with Van Jefferson back and with OBJ, OBJ like had a, almost essentially a perfect night.
He did.
Like that is like it felt like the 2018 Rams where it was like Cooks, Woods, Kupp, you got them all. Yeah. And I was like, yes. So
the best part of the film study is the fact that you can go back, like Sean McVay went back and realized, okay, we've ran that. They ran that play before. But we'll just watch the safety, like watch the first step of the safety. If he takes one step in the direction, he starts biting towards Kupp. All you have to do, Matt, is hold your eyes on Kupp because you know, it's a longer developing pass play. And then you just turn your head last second and Jefferson is the crosser. And it's, I mean, I have to say, that when you're able to do that with a safety, you could hold your eyes, hold your head on a safety, and then pull last second and make a throw downfield 35 yards down the field. That's an elite quarterback. That's what a top five quarterback does. And I'm not going to say somebody can do that. Somebody can't do that. I'm not going to say that. What I am going to say is that we have a guy right now that can do that. And if he continues to play the way that he did in this game, we're going to go a long way in the playoffs. And I'm fully confident in that. It's the pressure, though. I think it was agreed. It was a combination of both forms of pressure. It was the Cardinals bringing the blitz 50% of the time, paired with the fact that the national media wanted to just build this storyline about Matthew Stafford, the fact that he can't win a playoff game, the fact that it was the Detroit Lions. There's just been a lot to talk about. And to Kyle Brandt's point, I'm just happy that we don't have to talk about it anymore. Because as I alluded to in the beginning of the episode, imagine the conversation that you and I would be having. This podcast legitimately would probably get five listeners. I can't lie, compared to the 287 listeners we get.
Oh, wow. I'm just kidding. Bold of you to release our numbers. Who knows how many? Dean keeps the actual number hidden from me, maybe in like a ignorance is bliss kind of way. So maybe
I'm the analytics guy. I'm the Elizabeth Holmes of Rams Brothers. I keep all the data hidden.
Dean's like Netflix. He's just not going to release the numbers.
I'm Theranos.
Yeah.
Check out that documentary when you have a second. It's crazy.
Anyway,
it's a combination.
Let me just say this. As somebody who was rightfully so a critique of what this offense was doing, because now we're kind of talking about the offense, I couldn't have been happier to watch all of it be disproven in a playoff game, first Monday night playoff game ever, and you know. Still some problems. Scripted drive is never really that good for them for some reason. They got off rhythm with the Higbee drop, which hurts to start the game. Once they got the ball and didn't capitalize on the three and out. Couple drops. Stafford still running, kind of maybe throwing his body into situations that, you know, he's not in Detroit anymore. But
yeah,
that was the best display of Rams playoff football I've seen since Jared Goff's final drive in the Saints game post Breeze interception, where he got them to pretty much field goal range after almost getting like tackled. And that game was kind of like more defensive than anything else. And this was like a chance where, oh no, both offense and defense are stepping up and they have a real opportunity here to beat Tampa. Like, it's not like Tampa. Like, if you beat Tampa and you get rolling and then you have to go into Green Bay, or better yet, you get a game at home, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Like, those are two huge opponents. Honestly, I know San Francisco kind of has our number. If you get to go to the Super Bowl and you get to play two divisional opponents, like, you know, that is oh my God. Like, I know our division is hard, but you know, like, you know exactly what you're expecting or what is going, what you're going to get.
Yeah. Hey, I totally agree. I think from an offensive perspective, there were a couple things, and that's the best part about being able to go back and kind of watch some of this stuff. It's that McVay knows he has some stuff that he needs to clean up. Or I think he knows that there were some drives where he was an empty, where he probably could have, you know, stuck with the run. He could have went more with Cam Akers. He could have been more effective in that regard. That's one thing that I think he's always going to continue to evaluate. But any further from that, I think that, you know, he puts himself in a decent position to be successful. I think the explosives are going to be there when you commit yourself to the run. You know, I don't think he overworked Stafford. You know, I don't think he overused him in any regard. You know, it was a really nice sample size of passes I saw from Stafford. And it just put the offense in a really good position. It allowed him to get into rhythm. So I was happy with that. And plus, Cam Akers is a weapon. I mean, you saw him.
This is something that I can't believe we haven't talked about yet. Cam Akers. Oh my gosh. Just the way that he was able to come back and then take the workload off of Stafford, him and Sony Michel. Sony just to rip off that that run to start the game, 35 yards. I was like, oh my gosh, we have a real chance here to like legitimately end this thing on top, like the whole kit and caboodle. At that point, just the game, but start the game off like that and then not to capitalize hurt. But then just to set the tone of like, okay, we can run on these guys. It's ground and pound. It's not San Francisco. Like, we don't have to beat them with our arm, even though, you know, we will at some points, because we can and we're capable of that. But Cam Akers, man, like, hats off to him. He is, it's like an unheard of story how he's back on the field right now and is like getting like actual reps and is was almost averaging like 8 yards a carry or something crazy.
Oh,
like,
dude, he's unbelievable. He's shot out of a cannon. And I mean, I'm not going to draw any comparisons to Gurley and CJ Anderson, but Sean McVay right now has two running backs that just want the ball, like, in every situation. Cam Akers is hungry as hell. And he's not only a threat in the running game. I mean, you saw him in the passing game. They'll split him out wide. He'll be the receiver furthest on your screen to the right side. He'll be, you know, the second guy in the alignment on the right side, all the way at the top of your screen. And they're not afraid to let him run routes. They're not afraid to let him pass protect. And the way that they've ingrained him back into the offense, and the fact that Sony Michel still started the game and was still kind of your lead ball carrier, and the fact that he's so sure-handed and you're not expecting anything bad to happen when those two touch the ball. Even on a negative run, you know, they're going to make it up on the next play. It's just really encouraging, and it feels similar to that kind of rushing attack. When Sean McVay calls 32 run plays in a wild card round game, when he feels like he has the greatest upgrade at quarterback ever, it to me, it just says they had the matchup and now they have the personnel to be able to dominate, be more physical at the line of scrimmage. And they did all of that yesterday. So really encouraging sign from the run game. I mean, even Andrew Whitworth came out in this game. You saw Joe Noteboom, the best backup left tackle in the league, come in and be serviceable. Hope Whitworth is okay. I know that ankle was tweaked, but again, I mean, just that they're resilient. I saw them win I saw the offensive line win at the line of scrimmage. I know a couple of weeks back we were watching a video on Baldy, how he was just talking about positioning players. They won at the line of scrimmage. They were firing 3-5 yards off the line of scrimmage, creating lanes for their running backs to get through, get to the second and third level. That's what I wanted to see from this team all year. So for it to happen in a wild card round is encouraging, but it needs to happen 3 more times. That's what I'll leave us with. Where they're still,
but I mean, now more than ever in the entire season, I have faith that can happen.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about, we'll transition to the third phase of the game, special teams. You talked about Hecker. How about Hecker? He was really good last night. 5 punts. I think they all ended up inside the 20 yard line. They weren't all, you know, short pooch punts. You know, his longest was 45 yards. So he still had to do some work. But it's a dangerous combination when the special teams unit is clicking, when Johnny Hecker can punt, and you also have Brandon Powell on the other end, who looks like he's one cut and he's pissed off when he has to fair catch. Like, he wants to catch the ball and go. Like, if you're going to try to break it instead of fair catch, like, you're my favorite player, really. Like, you want a punt returner that can just go out and get it, and that's what they're getting out of Brandon Powell as well. And Hecker, back to 2018 for him, in the words of you.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I'm upsetting myself. I don't know the exact name of the player, but there's like a special teams punt where like Hecker like rolls it, and the guy's in the end zone waiting for the ball, and then like gets on top of it. That was amazing. I was like, oh my god, like the fact that he got over there and was ready for it and was in the end zone and hopped on it. I was like, boom, like that's one of the best special teams plays I've ever seen, like from like a punter perspective. It was just really, it was really fantastic all around.
Yeah, I want to see if I could find the name of that player because he deserves a shout out.
And then you see Hecker doing his trademark like finger guns when he gets his great punts, and yeah, just to see that, just to see how they were rolling.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you who it was, honestly.
No, it wasn't Skoranek, I don't think. Somebody similar. Anyway, special teams looks
great.
Could have
been 43. Orshek.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Is that the long snapper?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, he made a hell of a play. That's these special teams guys. We love you. They put it all in. And then, you know, that's what we want out of special teams. We just want heart. And that's what they're getting out of at Joe Camillus's, D. Camillus's group. All right. We're gonna close it out with this. Kurt Warner has got himself into some trouble on Rams Twitter. I don't know, Nick, how would you describe this? I mean, pick the Cardinals.
As somebody who has been a villain of sorts on Rams Twitter, Kurt, let me sympathize with you here for a second. Mr. Warner, can I call you Kurt? I'm going to call you Kurt. Listen, your movie was really good. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for bringing a Super Bowl to LA. My only advice to you would just be don't answer these people, Kurt, because I see that you like me, when somebody tweets at you something horrible, you want to answer and you want to respond and you want to try to convince them. And the fact that you're Kurt Warner kind of helps, because a lot of people, like, as soon as you respond, they're like, oh my god, I am so sorry. But people are dropping F-bombs and yelling at him for... The guy played on both franchises. And one of the franchises didn't completely, like, kick him to the curb. So it's understandable why, you know, he may favor one over the other, even though only one of them brought him Super Bowl glory.
Exactly.
And makes his story a whole lot better. But, like, I don't fault him at all for picking the Cardinals. Like, sometimes... No. It's also a lot easier to be yelling and screaming on Twitter anywhere than anywhere else, like in real life. Like, if they, like, you have to know if those people, if those Rams fans saw Kurt Warner, even right after taking the pick that that the Cardinals would win, they're not going to yell at him. Like, they would never do that. It's,
of course not.
It's the behind a wall. Kurt, don't respond to these crazy people. It gets you nowhere. You know, but he does a good job by being like, hey guys, look, it's all love. I'm not, you know, I do it for TV. I do it for the fun. Like, don't eat me. Don't hate me.
That should be you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do it for the same reason. I do it for the fun. It's about drive. It's about power, you know?
Yeah. It's about flour. We stay hungry. We devour. It's Twitter is a crazy world. You got to be careful. I'm going to play the tweet or so we can read it. That's the wrong tweet. Ha ha. I'm not offended easily, reading this in the voice of Kurt. I'm here for it all. My picks, my man. I get the passion. I love the passion. Picks are simply picks, sometimes with heart, sometimes as an analyst, sometimes for the good of TV. I put a little stock in them and happy for my team when they win. In response to Rambassador, Jim Everett, who can be confrontational at times if he wants to be, as we all know, came out and said, how'd you like to be Kurt Warner right now? The only ex-Ram quarterback who picked Arizona to win.
It's amazing. That's amazing. I didn't know Jim tweeted that.
Yeah, I had to clip that in for context. Yeah, it was actually Kurt Warner quoting the great Jim Everett, three-time podcast guest for the Rams brothers, Jim Everett. But I'll tell you, if the Rams wanted ever to do a little side podcast, I would say Jim Everett and Kurt Warner would be great co-hosts of each other. What would you say?
Yeah, I would. Oh, my God. I would listen to that all the time.
I mean, it would have to be like live in person so that you could like, you know, you could feel the machismo coming off of one another.
Yeah.
They're similar ages. You know, they both got the gray look going on. 6 foot five, tall, lean. Who's got a better arm? You know, I'm feeling pretty good today kind of thing. I just think that would be hysterical. Come on. Come on, Kurt. You want to go out back 40 yard dash? I think I got you today. Oh, I would love that.
We should do that.
Yeah, me and you. Just a combine.
A 40-yard dash.
Yeah, but what about everything else?
Yeah, I can beat you in everything else, too.
225 bench?
Yeah, I can do that.
Can't beat me in that.
Oh, boy. 10:07 feels like I was up super late last night, and it feels like I'm up super late last night. Maybe I'm just getting old, but what a game.
It was an amazing game.
What a display of football godly legends that we saw on the field. Let's just keep it up, guys. I think they have a real chance to make a legitimate run. I feel amazing about this team where they are right now. And I'm completely back in. Look at me, man. It's a complete 180. And that's what this is. That's what it always will be. I will always be able to convince myself that they can win.
I tried to convince you. I tried, but
I mean,
you got to convince yourself.
You ultimately did by the end of the episode because I was able to talk myself into it. Yeah. So,
hey, it's the craziness of being a fan. It's a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you guys for listening. Been a hell of a week. It's been emotional. If you're tired, makes sense. Me too. Keep listening. Hang on. Like, review, subscribe. Do whatever you got to do, and let's rally together. Let us know if you're going to the Rams game at Tampa. Shout us out on Twitter. We'll retweet you guys. So spread the word.
Yeah. And if you are, please go to www.tickpick.com/Rams Brothers. You'll thank us later when you're not dealing with any fees or issues. Buying with the big guys. That's TickPick. Our newest sponsor. If you're going to the game, get your tickets through www.tickpick.com/Rams Brothers. And when you go to the game, grab a nice Golden Road Brewery, Golden Road Beer, our official beer sponsor. Whose House? Rams House, Blonde Ale Beer. It's amazing. Grab some of that. Boys, girls, Ramily, thank you for listening to Rams Brothers Pod. We will be back Thursday. We will get some good picks in the next picks, and we will rally behind Matthew Stafford and play good football.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, we will. Go Rams.
Go Rams, everybody.
See you guys in a couple days. Peace.